Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Christina Mislan. She's an assistant professor of journalism studies at the Missouri School of Journalism. Hi, Christina.
Hello, Sonali.
So Germany formally rejected Greece's request for a six-month extension of its loan program yesterday. Under the new leadership of Alexis Tsipras, Greece requested the extension, saying that it offers more time to come to a compromise on the strict terms of the ongoing bailouts of the bankrupt nation. German officials, however, are adamant that social belt tightening is the only way for Greece to fulfill its debt obligations. At stake is Greece's possible exit from the eurozone. In fact, the German magazine Der Spiegel reported that the European Central Bank is already preparing for a Greek exit. This morning, news emerged that German authorities may be softening their tone, as Mr. Tsipras told press that he was confident that finance ministers of EU nations would accept his terms. Christina, do you think this battle between Germany and Greece is really about economic ideology rather than anything else, since a Greek victory could mean the beginning of the end of austerity in general?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think there's very little in this world that isn't about economic ideology and the consequences that emerge from that. I think in terms of Greece, there have been several economists and experts who have pointed out and highlighted the consequences of austerity measures in European nations like Greece, as well as the lack of monetary sovereignty. So those are all issues that Greece and Germany and the loan program right now that they have to deal with. But, you know, whether there was a Greek victory, whether it would be an end to austerity measures, I think that's, you know, that deserves a question mark. I think definitely it would be a conversation, a beginning to maybe revisiting some of these economic issues that are going on right now.
Nicolas Maduro's government in Venezuela has arrested Caracas Mayor Antonio Ledezma over allegations of his involvement in a possible U.S.-backed coup attempt. Maduro, who took over from the legendary leftist leader Hugo Chavez, claims that disgruntled military officers are planning a coup of his socialist government in cooperation with opposition politicians. According to VenezuelaAnalysis.com, officials had planned to partake in a bombing spree of strategic targets in the capital. They had hoped this would lead to the assassination of the country's president and bring about regime change. Ledezma's signature on a document calling for a national transition is part of the evidence being cited. So far, the mayor's whereabouts are not known, but other opposition leaders are up in arms over the arrest, saying he was dragged out of his office, quote, like a dog. Now, Christina, it's pretty hard to get unbiased coverage of Venezuela in the mainstream media, but if Ledezma was indeed involved in a coming coup attempt, doesn't Maduro's government have the right to arrest him?
Well, yeah, the simple answer is yes. Venezuela, as a sovereign nation, has a right to arrest someone who they believe was attempting a coup. But I think, you know, we have to put this into context. We don't know if this coup was really U.S.-backed. I mean, it's hard to tell because of the media coverage. As you mentioned, it's really hard to get unbiased media coverage about Venezuela. But we do have to put it into context with previous U.S.-backed invasions and coups in Venezuela, but also other Latin American countries as well. And so sometimes we can start to see, understand why these accusations have some truth to it, even though we might not know all the details. But I do think that one more thing that's important here is that regardless, I know there's going to be cries of human rights abuses from this, but I think there's something to say that the U.S. is going to be somehow involved here or indirectly tied to what's going on. So we always have to come to that that issue as well as U.S. foreign policy. I think that's an underlying current here.
And finally, the New York Times published an op-ed this morning by William Carrigan and Clive Webb entitled, quote, "When Americans Lynched Mexicans," lauding a recent study by the Equal Justice Institute of lynchings of African Americans in the U.S., which we had covered on Uprising. The authors pointed out that additionally, quote, "lynchers targeted many other racial and ethnic minorities in the United States, including Native Americans, Italians, Chinese, and especially Mexicans." In fact, say the authors, quote, "from 1848 to 1928, mobs murdered thousands of Mexicans, though surviving records allowed us to clearly document only about 547 cases. Now, Christina, are you shocked to hear about this little-known aspect of U.S. history? I had never really heard about it on this wide a scale.
Yes, of course, there's always some shock with any time there's a history about the U.S. that we haven't known, especially on this wide of a scale. But I think also there's less shock, because if we really think about the center of what the United States is and the history and the growth of the United States is built off of the bloodshed and violence and conquest of non-white people. And so a history like this about the anti-Mexican violence, and I'm sure if we added the Mexican-American War to that, the numbers would go up. So again, the United States is a nation that's built off of violence and conquest and bloodshed. And so I think we're going to continue to see more stories like this as we continue to dig deeper into U.S. history.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Christina Mislan, for joining us today as our Daily News Flash guest expert.
Thank you.
Christina Mislan is an assistant professor of journalism studies at the Missouri School of Journalism. This is Uprising. We'll be right back.